Jema. So this, I think, the first podcast of a series which Dr. Roshni conceived, and she is, just to introduce her, she is Dr. Roshni Sundar, and she is a medical graduate from Cardiff, that's UK. Yeah. So, well, she has her own very interesting journey, but the interesting part is that she realized at a very young age the limitations of the medical system in which we live, the limitations and the dangers of the life that we lead, the hollowness, if I may say so, I'm putting words, you can correct it, the hollowness behind the life of glitter and glamour that you know, is offered in the world in general. And of course, she is staying in London. Is that right? Okay. So she has a younger sister. She's also entered the medical school. And so last few years, she has been going through this churning process, self-reflection. And now she has been raising certain questions. She had been in conversation with me with regard to issues, and particularly medical issues and social issues. Medical issues means the limited framework in which medicine is operating. And these issues, social issues with regard to the youth, the direction they are taking, the way they are going, especially with the media and all. So she planned that we should discuss this one day, and maybe other issues also over a period of time. Through some kind of a, I don't know whether we can call this arrangement a podcast, but I would say in conversation with Dr. Roshni. Okay, so Dr. Roshni Sundar, maybe you can introduce and share your
own. Thank you. So this is just the beginning of a new series, that the name that came was The Modern Life in a New Light of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And I thought the first talk today could be on social media and the challenges it imposes now in this ever-moving forward world. And I think I was one of the last generations to know a childhood without social media and then be taken in its tsunami from the age of 13, 14. And I think the telephone started as a means of communicating to each other, but now it's become an instrument to open to a whole world of its own. And I don't think the challenge starts at some point in the day. I think it starts as soon as before you even wake up and open your eyes properly in the morning. The first instinct for the majority of young people is to reach for their phone and check Instagram, check WhatsApp, check TikTok. And what I've noticed is that immediately in the morning, it leads to such a dissipation of energy and it disorientates your day completely. So I just wanted to kind of raise that and why this is a problem for somebody who wants
to. So I remember you sharing, you know, communicating with me. She said a little quizzically, almost stumping me with this, that you wouldn't be knowing what is the problem of, you know, the younger generation. And I said, I think I know, fair enough. I deal with so many people. And then she said, you know, morning they look at the YouTube, some reels, some shorts, and then they go on sliding. And sometimes it can go to 60 reels, 70 reels, and it's stuffing the mind with all kinds of information. I said, yes, that I don't know for sure. So the impact of social media, is that what
you... Yes, and by the time you've been 1 minute on Instagram, you've already exchanged so many forces with 60 people of what they've done last night, all the messages you've missed on.
Yeah.
So why is this a problem first thing in the morning and throughout the day as well?
So let me start with this idea, the good side, okay, then we'll touch upon it. Because people say that, well, social media, internet has greatly facilitated our communication, right? So that's supposed
that's
to be,
true.
Which includes, true or not, we'll question it. Okay, so so normally one of the quotes is that, well, we ourselves are using right now social media to communicate. All right. Now, I can challenge this theory, and the challenge that I throw is that some of the writings which are most precious to mankind, which includes the Vedas, which includes most of the scriptures, in fact, that human beings are aware of, the Gita, had not even been recorded. And when you look at how they have been preserved, well, there is a logic of it, that oral tradition, etc. But look at it, that they have been not only preserved, they continue to be a source of inspiration and guidance for millenniums, not just hundreds of years. Even recently I was studying, and there we get the first clue. This only with regard to the good effect. So the first clue was that one of the clues was that in 1947, a discovery was made by a group of, actually it was an accidental discovery, and then scientists got engaged in it, and they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Heard about it? Some of us may have heard about it. Dead Sea Scrolls, maybe, you know, yeah, there I would know. Now, it's very interesting that it's something 2000 years back, and people are no more there, and they had to run away because of some attacks. And so these people literally wrote the scrolls on stones inside and hid it inside the cave. So they have 7 caves which are like libraries. Now the beauty is, when you read, at least when I was hearing those scrolls, you discover one of the earliest and purest forms of Christianity as it evolved inside the from Judaism, and it evolved, and it, Shubhendu speaks about it in the human cycle. And the same when I read the legends of Chaldea. Now, when I was reading about Chaldea, and when I had read earlier also, of course, through the medium of books, you will see such a resonance with the Vedic culture. You can almost say, and it was enough to make me understand, that we think, of course, about the Vedas and Sanatana Dharma is the most... But you will see exactly the same thing. The difference is the continuity of culture that has been maintained in India. But that's not the subject for today. What I want to say is that this transmission of the highest knowledge, sacred knowledge, was through a process of seeking and finding. So I'm not sure that even this idea of everything being available for everyone is necessarily a good idea. Because what if, though this is how the democratic mind, you know, believes it. Because we don't know how it is understood, how it is being used. So knowledge which is sacred, about which we say, oh, we can transmit it, which includes Aurobindo and the mother, I must say. Because I get so many questions from people who have heard. You have yourself sent me question on some podcast on Aurobindo, and you are quite surprised that how is the person saying this. Now, you are a conscious audience. You have been reading Mother and Aurobindo, so you could, and you have a sensitive inner discernment to be able to make out that this is something not quite right. Mm. In fact, you used a word which is very interesting, and here we can have, without mentioning the name, that this is almost like anti-divine. Mm. And I agreed with you, and you said, what should I do? Because I said, no, this is how, see this, and this also the social media, going in the name of Aurobindo and the mother. So I am not too sure that social media has necessarily done good. Mm. What it has done is that it has flooded the mind with all kinds of information. That's factually speaking. Mm-mm-mm. And the mind, human mind, has a kind of filter. So this information that comes in, it cannot process to start with. So because it's overwhelmed, it bypasses all the filters. It's like, you know, what's happening in the Iran-Israel war. Mm. So though the Iron Dome was supposed to be absolutely working, but 90% it can stop. If you rain heavily, some missiles will go through. Now, when we have all this information entering into us, so even otherwise the filter doesn't work. Mm. So it's like raw information has gone inside, what information, where, this one. And second, even the good information eventually gets filtered through a certain angle of vision.
Yeah.
That's why people often say that, you know, what is the need of talking about Mother Sri Aurobindo, people can read directly. Mm. I say yes, but still it will be filtered through your mind.
Mm. I think the other problem that comes with the influx of information that you get is, especially I've seen in my young population, that it leads to a complete lack of individuality. So almost if you see a group of young people, you can't identify through, you know, call it energy, call it whatever. It'll be the same person just replicated six times because they don't, it's almost like they lose a sense of thinking for themselves, what they like, what they appreciate, what their goal in life is. And if you step away from that, away from social media, you're almost outcast in society. That's the problem with the young population
Yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
So how would you kind of advise to navigate
that? So I'll first
that?
Narrate a little story with a group of students recently I met. They are students from Odisha where their people are so much still open, you know. So I asked them that when meals come, just to make a little conscious, that when food comes to your table, what do you do first thing? So of course we were, because there was no such influence, we were not watching TV while, eating. So we would sit and we were taught, it's what inbuilt, pray, invoke. And that's what even Sri Aurobindo says. Mother would say, offer it to the divine, take it as a prasad, all this was there. So I just asked them, what do you do? So while the teachers were, you know, trying to give an ideal answer, almost all the students, at least 10, 12 of them, almost spontaneously, and the others laughed in approval that, oh, we take a picture and post it on Facebook. I'm talking of we go out. So what I had in mind was to tell them the concept of sharing. That, you know, when a food comes, what do you do? First thing, before you start, you ask, would you like it? It's the idea of sharing, that, you know, it's just because I have ordered, just to get rid of selfishness. So their thought was that we click a picture and post it on the Facebook. Or they make some Insta reel on that. So it is, you're absolutely right that it finishes the sense of individuality because, or it creates a very, you know, there are two kinds of individuality, if I may say so. One is the idea of individuality where I am free to do whatever I want to do.
Mm.
So that's not individuality, that is being at the mercy of all kinds of forces. But we call it individuality. I'll do whatever I feel like doing. That's one of the problems that people have when they come to ashram or Auroville particularly. Because the idea is freedom. See how words play in our head. So freedom, the way it is understood, okay, I'll be free to do whatever I feel like doing. But the moment you come and any rule is imposed, I'm not in favor of imposed rules, but I'm just telling you. So it's like, but we thought there is freedom. But true freedom is very different. So there is a false individuality that I'm making my choices any which way. So what is understood by that is that you are eating non-veg, I can eat veg and we can be together. Well, I am being individual. No, individuality is not about that. Individuality about making conscious choices, not based on my likes.
So the question that follows from that is, often if as a young person you say that I don't want to go to parties, I don't want to drink, I don't want to do all these things, if it's for a religious purpose, nobody will question it. They'll say, okay, she's following religion, so it's fine. But if you say from a standpoint of I myself don't want to do it, there'll be 50 follow-up questions. Why not? So how do you kind of navigate that?
Yes, so we have to take it like this. Similar question someone had asked today. See, if you turn your back to the world, let me quote something which I had heard on one of the radio broadcasts long back when there were no TVs. And Baba Amte, he is the man who created Anandwan, a place for lepers. But he came from a multimillionaire family. So everybody was advising him against it. He said, okay, you give money, donate money for the cause. Why do you want to get so involved that you will actually start living there and, you know, it's dangerous? So he wrote to Sri Aurobindo. This is according to the radio broadcast. So I don't know how far it is true. I have not found that letter anywhere. So Shrivindu wrote to him, if you turn your back to the world will follow you. Now this is very, very true. So you see, the voices of the world are one thing. And it's only when you are able to, in the midst of all these voices and noises, able to stay firm with the strength and conviction of your inner self. I'm not using the word soul, but as you rightly said, from your inner space. Then you are being shaped like a real pearl. See how a pearl gets shaped, lying below the ocean floor with all the ocean waves, current, weight, everything impinging upon the shell. Even the shell is shaped like that. So one way to look at it is that this is a process which is a necessary process, that out of some 50 or 100 or even 1,000 people, just to make one person perfect, this is allowed, this part of the plan. And I'll give you an example with the ashram context. Someone asked the mother that there are so many people here, and they felt that they are not as if, you know, they are just here, they are doing like anywhere else in life. So what are they here? What are they doing here? So mother says, if you really believe that all of them are doing yoga, no, I know. Just about 50 people maybe out of 1,000. Okay, 50 is a big number. Then she says something very interesting, which is not documented, but a person who was present, he told me himself. So, and it makes perfect sense. He said, what are the rest of the people here for? She said, to give to them the experience of the world. Now you see what happens. Now the time comes when you have to, one is that you are in the mass, herd instinct. But the other is when time has come for the lion cub to understand it's not a sheep but a lion cub. That's how Sri Ramakrishna put his story. So the moment you do that, you are bound to face opposition. It's the same thing in yoga. The moment you take all that you thought was natural, all those forces behind it will start attacking you, because that's how they don't want. They want to extend their empire. But that's the whole training. That's the whole beauty. So yes, that's why yoga, integral yoga even more so, these were never meant for the mass people. So there were these two things which were advocated. People have forgotten that, so everything is for everyone. So yoga, and especially integral yoga or spiritual effort, was always meant for the few who were ready for whatever reason. And their readiness was tested by these means. Mother even says that in other places you have a very strict initiatory ritual. All secret societies had it. But here there is no such outer test. But there is a constant test to make sure that you are ready or not. But what about the rest? For the rest, there was what was advocated was a way of life which is more sattvic. And humanity was accordingly stratified. This is another thing which is lost in today's times. One is the Adhikar Bhed. Adhikar Bhed is, means just because one reads a book of yoga, comes to Pondicherry, doesn't mean one is ready for the yoga. So Adhikar Bhed. So earlier Mother and Shrivindu would turn away many people. Now it's like very different. But people have to understand that it's one thing that, you know, you are outwardly part of the ashram, quite another for the journey. So this is one part, Adhikar Bhed, which is lost and it should be taught. The other is that everything has been flattened. So all human beings are equal. In a sense, yes. But there is a stratification which we cannot forget. So there is, in human beings, Shrivindu describes 10 layers of evolving humanity. There is an animal kind of humanity which loves all this, which loves food. It's a foodie, if you want to put it like that. Yeah, food is its life. It lives for food. It is there. It's a fact of our existence. There is another for which life, you know, it enjoys cruelty, rakshas, divorce, whatever you, if it gets, and you know, losing this knowledge has created a lot of chaos. Take a marriage, instance of marriage. Oh, husband is sacred, husband is special, parents are all respectable. But what if the parent or the husband is like a rakshasa? devouring. So it was understood that there is a stratification in humanity. There is the Asura type, there is the Deva type. And it was arranged like that. And people were supposed to ultimately follow, try to inculcate. The society was more sattvic, more dharmic. So there was a collective pressure. So this is lost. The collective pressure to evolve into certain things which are supposed to be do good to you. Not because of morality, but simply because they are helpful to you. It's a collective wisdom. Now that has been completely broken. Why it is broken, what will come out is a different story. So to navigate now, you cannot rely on the collective wisdom anymore. It's no more available. Okay, so like parents would tell us many things. We all have grown up like that. And now that is gone. So now what will happen is, since we are at it, that's true that 49 out of 50 people will not be able to navigate.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Maybe out of these 49, 5 will start initially saying this one person is queer, but may take a little bit interest. Okay, so now the hierarchy is more spontaneous. And they will ask, yes, Dr. Roshni, what are you reading? So you share with somebody and most will say, oh, this is a nonsense. Or they will not say it out of decency. But maybe one person will want to come along with you. Whereas out of the 50, one will follow the inner self. This will be the genuine result. See, this idea of mass of humanity, democracy brings like that. You know, this is a big problem that everybody is, every vote is equal. Every human being is equal. In essence, it is true. But not true in terms of your nature and your manifestation. This is something which you have completely forgotten.
I've noticed this actually, if I can share it just for a minute.
Yes.
The thing that's happening in our generation now is that there's a complete collapse of all the rules and impositions of you should do this, you should do that, you should get married. And in that mix, people are now going back to the beauty that was in the essence of it, which is there is a beauty in that love that marriage was imposed upon. Or there is a beauty of falling at your parents' feet before you go out. And I feel that there's an opportunity now in this collapse to either go towards the truth of the essence of what was there or to just completely dip down into the
very beautiful
animal world. So that's what I've noticed, and I just wanted to.
That's very true and very beautiful. Because now it will not be because of any outer imposition. So outer imposition is necessary at a stage of human evolution. But now you don't have that, you have no institutionalization. For example, of religion, which has done the greatest harm. Every religion which has been institutionalized has been finished, buried under the grave. And now that is going. So religion in its true sense is an inner awakening to the beyond.
Exactly, yeah.
Inner connection to the beyond. You don't have to tell somebody that go and bow down. When your heart is full of gratitude, you inwardly bow down. You don't have to do this ritual. So this is happening and I am fully in sync with you that I see more and more youngsters who feel that, who experience the collapse and arising. There are still few. But I think this is a cascading effect. So people like your generation who break free, who went into the system and then broke free, like the story of, I mean, the classic story which I suggest every youngster to read, Jonathan Livingstone Seagull. You read that story? Oh, how come? Nalida has spoken about it. He has spoken about it as a parable of seagulls. So it was one of my favorite stories, Richard Bach. So he writes about these seagulls who are all flying very low. Seagulls are very near the sea. Yeah. They are just picking up their food from there and then. So one of the seagulls, he says, what is this life? Every day we do this and fly and come back, we are happy. So it's always dreaming of something. No, that's just like the story Dino, which I remembered. I wrote the story. So it's trying to, you know, seek. So one day it sees a seagull flying high. This seagull asks all others that can't we fly high? We have wings. No, don't venture.
You're not supposed to, you're not meant to fly high. You have to be near the sea. That's how you will be supported. So one day it sees and then it goes and says, how come? It's like the master who comes, and initially this little seagull is hesitant, and she starts stumbling and tumbling, but slowly, ultimately, she learns to fly, discovers the joy of freedom. But then when she comes back, these others get inspired. So now I think people like you and many others, youngsters I see, they are being prepared to have a cascading effect on the younger generation. And it is happening, because every young person who breaks free like the seagull and flies high, initially there is a condemnation. But afterwards you are respected for your integrity. So especially to youngsters, I want to say this. I have myself gone through this process, being in the Indian Air Force at 21 and a half. I think little younger than your age, right? So in Air Force, party is not just a culture. It's a compulsory thing. And if you don't go for the party, your ACR, annual confidential report, gets affected. You have to dress in a certain way. And being the rebel that I was, I would not refuse to wear a tie, tie as a uniform part is okay. But I said, why would I wear a tie in the evening to go to the mess in the heat of Jorhat? So it created logical problem. Yeah, I said, it doesn't make logical sense to wear a tie and I'll be sweating. And also full sleeves, sun down, sleeves down. So I still remember breaking free from that, and spoon fork has to be arranged in this way. And I said, no, I don't. I'll go by my convenience. So it used to be, people used to array this, you know, why do you question? Why do you? Most of the people would just enjoy. And let me share a very funny story. So there was a movie, English movie, Papillon. I think you not seen, Second World War movie. So I also went to see the movie. People were discussing on the table. I said, I couldn't make sense of the movie. There is something which is missing. I don't know. I couldn't connect the thread. Bada, it's a lovely movie. I said, lovely is okay, but what was the movie about? So these 5-6 people with me, they thought that, you know, anyways, I was not much interested in that kind of movie. So I said, maybe I don't understand so much of it. Then one person came who had seen the movie earlier and again gone and seen. And he says, they messed it up. They were playing the real Ulta Pulta. So I got validated. And my not understanding had a logical meaning to it. So initially, that's the kind of ostracization you face.
Yeah.
So people, even my very funny stories, how these rituals. So my senior medical officer, he told me, you know, you have to call on your senior and the CO. I said, call on means what? He said, no, you have to go to their house. You have to say that we want to come to your house. It's a formality, like, you know, mixing up. I said, okay. So I said, so who is my immediate senior? Whom should I call on? He said, me. So I felt how stupid of him. He could have just told me, you come over, son, to my house in the evening. I said, why all this drama? Okay, so this was my state, and people were very unhappy. Then you do well, and you know, you walk your way. I always believe that, you know, you walk your way even if you are alone. So now 15-20 years down the line, in the process many things happen. So in my farewell, final farewell, when I'm leaving the Air Force, so one of my seniors who was a medical specialist who saw me through these stages, so he says that, well, I must say that he has never, you know, been much into attending these social events and all this, but he is a man of total integrity. This was the one word, and always in my annual confidential report, quietly people were writing nice things. So it's true that society may not initially accept you, but as you grow, Shobindo's letter to Mrilalini, he says, you know, I have three madnesses. And then he says, will you come with me? And then he says something very interesting, that, you know, when a madman does not succeed, he says, I don't know. I may succeed, I may fail. So he says, if he does not succeed, people would call him that he was a madman. But if a madman succeeds, then they will follow him. So he says that, will you come with me? So it's a gamble. In that letter, he is speaking about a gamble and a chance. So, and he says the future is a wager which comes like the Sphinx with the double offer.
Mm.
So, I would suggest the young people, they have this this capacity to leap. And sometimes it can be a great advantage. So, they take the gamble. What may happen? Nobody knows. And mother is inviting that adventurous spirit. I think you are doing that reading on Sunlit Path. You can speak a little about that on your... You're posting on Aroma as well as your own...
just on Aroma.
But
Thursdays
Spotify,
and Sundays.
Okay. Now, you were doing posting something of your
own. Yeah, that's stepped aside now.
No, acha, but now you're doing on Aroma. So, reading from Sunlit Path. So, you must be remembering mother speaks about coming to the great adventure.
She says, what will happen to you tomorrow?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. So, who will come?
Yeah.
Those who are... Now, you know, if you read it like that, many people get frightened. They said, oh, she is not ensuring anything. I said, yes. Will you still come? Shubhinda says the same thing in invitation.
Mm.
With the wind and the weather beating around me, up to the hill and the moorland I go. So this spirit of adventure, this is also missing, partly not so much only because of social media, but because this idea of this fixed comfort zones, goals, money, pleasure...
So that's what I was going to say is the next thing about social media is that it provides every human being is seeking the same thing ultimately, which is the security, the happiness, the peace, the love. And social media gives a false sense of that, that if I do this, then I'm secure in society. Or if I follow this, if I post on TikTok, if I've got 1,000 followers on Instagram, I'm secure. But actually, the true security comes when you go beyond that, when you're not reliant on how many followers you have on Instagram.
Absolutely.
Or what is the newest trend that you're following. So if it's security that you want, that's not in social media. If it's popularity you want, well, that's a different story of its own.
Though actually, if you look into it, always popularity has been pitted against, you know, you follow the unconventional path, the road less traveled. See, Sri Aurobindo himself, look at Sri Aurobindo. People asked him that, you know, many of your, I am afraid that you may not have so many followers as in other religions.
Mm.
And he says nothing depends on numbers. Mm. So this idea of numbers is again a typical democratic way of looking at it.
I think in Questions and Answers or Collective Works, Sri Aurobindo, I can't remember which one exactly, but there is... Something that is not so strong, something that is weak only needs numbers.
Yes.
If something is strong, it only needs...
Yes. So that's what I keep telling when people say, you know, demographic shift, all this, and they want numbers.
Mm.
So I said, if you go by numbers, you are going to be, because the other people are producing like cats and dogs. But what you can do is you can grow into a lion. One lion is enough to, you know, keep away even 10 wolves. Unless they attack a solitary lion in a pack, they try to, you know, they are not sure whether what's going to happen. So, always quantity is at the expense of quality. What is worse is that when you seek ratification from others, validation from others, you very unconsciously begin to mold yourself along the lines that others expect you to be.
You're putting yourself directly at the mercy of other people.
Yes. You lose your own true life. So this I have seen very often, because when people seek popularity, they want to be... I'm not saying that always unconventionality is best, but doesn't matter. At least... it is better than simply seeking popularity. Because when you are seeking popularity, you are actually unwittingly losing your own true life. So I remember one very interesting story. Someone had written an article on Sri Aurobindo to be published in the Illustrated Weekly. Okay, so someone from the ashram. And this story was published and it got some third prize or something like that. And when one of the senior members came to know about it and read it, it was, see, Illustrated Weekly used to be a very leftist oriented magazine. I don't know whether some of you have read it or not. I have read it, and I have even given rejoinders to some of the people who wrote articles. I still remember one, Claude RP, had written something on, you know. So anyways, he wrote to get a prize. So this person, senior member of the ashram who read it, he asked this man. He said, Judas Iscariot sold Christ for 20 tinsels. How many you sold Aurobindo for? His answer was, well, if I wouldn't have written the way I wrote, he gave a justification. People won't be interested or being engaged, so I had to, you know, dilute and put it in a way like a common man. That's untruth to start with.
Mm.
So untruth cannot be the basis of building truth. So those who seek popularity, who seek social approval, they are not only weak people, they lose their own life because they are always living somebody else's life.
Mm.
So as a stage of evolution, it's over. That's why it has been broken.
Mm.
Because many people, what was there, as you yourself said, that you know, going to temples also can become a, you know, people typically say, and now there are many nice little programs laughing at it. You know, when a person comes, he says he's going to marry in a traditional setup, and he is looking for what? Sari, he's looking for, you know, whether she can prepare food or not, Indian setting.
Mm-mm.
But you don't know what the girl may be. I have myself experienced that when one of my friend, cardiologist, batchmate, he married, and it was live-in relationship, and he threw a party, and it was like live-in relation. We were all excited. What is live-in? Live-in relation, let's see what it is. So we went for the party, mainly to see what it is to live in relation.
Mm.
So this lady walked with tight jeans and, you know, some top, and a good lady walking very gracefully, and everybody, and see, this is what it happens, and you know, everybody was judgmental. But it was very interesting. So in that party you hardly speak, no? Anyways, we went back, this is called live-in and all. So after, everybody had passed a judgment that this is not the ideal woman of an Indian society.
Mm.
Unfortunately. And though we had all grown up the 70s, but from an institute like AFMC, we were pretty modern. So we used to have socials every week where boys and girls would mix and dance. So still, now after 2 days, I get a call from my friend. He says, my wife wants to desperately meet you, and I am also keen to. I said, what happened? I thought this probably breakdown and all that. I can't address her problem. So I went, what is the problem? She's crying and crying, sitting before a just imagine, before an idol of Krishna. And she suddenly tells me things like, you know, she feels such a longing for Krishna. She doesn't know whom can she share it. And she says he doesn't understand. Imagine that the man doesn't understand my longing for Krishna. And after that, over years, she's time to time stayed in touch. She knew my spiritual inclinations. And I was so happily surprised. Marriage worked, everything worked. So these social norms and formats are being broken. I'm telling now the reason why it has happened. Earlier, people were good because society, or because the book says so. People of the book. So what is the book says so? If you do a sin, you will be probably roasted like a
marshmallow.
I don't know. Marshmallow is still okay, but roasted like peanuts or chicken fry in the tandoor of some hell, and then you know, they will have a feast on you. Then you'll come back here in worse conditions, wherever there is rebirth. So there was a double punishment and double reward. So people were good for the sake of reward or punishment.
Mm.
This is not goodness, and that's what I keep saying. People often say, oh, I was very honest, but see what God did to me. I said, you were honest because you wanted a reward. Today somebody said that, you know, don't go in search of your soul. He said to someone, I tried and my whole life turned topsy-turvy. So I said, oh, you wanted soul to only enhance your comfort zones. Of course your life will turn topsy-turvy if you are not leading a life according to the original script. Mm. So the soul is the script of truth. It is going to turn your life completely topsy-turvy. Mm. So what happened is, in the previous century, in the beginning, there is a letter of Sri Aurobindo. He says, I took 10 years to clear the entire past of the earth. So the bad and the good. There is an article of him, where he says, in Kali Vraja, not only the bad goes, even the good goes. So there will be instruments to do that, destruction of all these. So now what is happening is, now because that breakdown, you will see number of humanity which is overwhelmingly, which was held by the social norms, degenerating toward the animal kind. Because the animal was in check only because society won't permit.
Mm.
But now, though there is a apparent, not apparent, real degradation, that was the apparent goodness because of God in heaven. Now that there is no fear of God in heaven, there is no fear of, there is some law, but people have found a way out of the law. But that which will come out will be real gem, will be diamond.
I think when we were saying that, why are you doing something? So if you're doing something because of a dogma or a rule, but now it's been replaced by everything almost people are doing because of social media, like getting ready in the morning.
It's the new religion.
It's the new religion. It actually is. But are you getting ready? Are we getting ready in the morning for Mother and Sri Aurobindo? Or are we getting ready in the morning to post a picture later? And it takes over every part of life, even the person you're with. How can I portray this picture on social media that I'm with, I don't know, a gym guy, or I'm going to this work to portray an image of myself? So religion has been replaced now by social media.
No religion, that's true. So I mean, what you say is very true. And that's what I was sharing with someone the other day, that what AI is doing now, it is doing thought control. Literally, you see, your feeds will come based on, I think I was explaining that if you see one of the videos where somebody is doing, anti-Israel, you will see hundreds of videos of the same kind coming. And if you see somebody who is pro-Israel in the present, those videos, another kind of facts, and the mind is pretty confused that which to believe and which not to believe. So it has begun to regulate your thought. Of course, democracies are using it, manipulating. It's well known. The recent elections in the US and people say in Russia people are hinting at in India. Now, yes, every democracy is manipulating. In India, this happened that, constitution, they will change. And, it went so viral on the social media that even the so-called thinking people, they believed that, although if anybody had little sense, like people asked me, I said, so what is wrong if constitution is changing? I don't know whether they'll change or not, but I see nothing wrong. It's not Brahma's word. Even Brahma changes his word in evolution. How can you say that there is anything wrong? So instead of taking that narrative, that yes, it should evolve. We are not followers of the book of medieval times.
Mm.
That once written, it's engraved in stone. Nothing is engraved in stone. Everything must evolve. So this is a big danger. But again, I think here comes a big responsibility of both school. Very few teachers are like that. Parents and senior friends who are little ahead. Teach children how to think for themselves.
Yeah.
Educators have a very big responsibility. And mother gave a hint in mental education. She says, weigh both sides. Find a synthesis. So I personally feel that's how it should be. Not to take those absolute stances. And find a higher synthesis. So this is where educators come into play.
I think it's what helped me was, like, before I post a picture, or when I was using Instagram very regularly, or before I do anything, it's just a matter of just 1 second to say, why am I doing this? And if you just start asking why you're doing something, it sort of,
centralizes why. I would say even, yeah, that's true. Even I would say that less than that. If you just step back and simply this, do I need to put it? Do I need to say this? So one of the things which I like, by the way, okay, that people when they message and delete it, in a way, it means they are at least reflecting. They begin to take it that well, should I? But next step will be that before writing, they just step back. Do I need to? 90%, 99% of the messages, I'll tell you, or what we say to others is really not necessary. It's just a habitual impulse. So, one of the problem with social media influence, because one is the direct influence, but we should not forget the indirect influence.
Yes,
because we are being wired by vibrations which are all around. And if you go to a city, the atmosphere is horrible to say the least. Because we are wired by all kinds of vibrations. Earlier it was enough thought, feelings and the life impulse, desires. But also now with through the internet subtle medium. So we don't understand how the law of vibrations operates. But it does operate. So there is no doubt. Mother speaks about the atmosphere of a city like Paris. And she says it's not good. Because cities were built around desires. So that's why people, one of the solution which I suggest is that now people have begun to do it like, you know, social media detox. If you can't regulate yourself, then go to a place where there is no connectivity.
TikTok.
Yeah, so like Sri Aurobindo Dham is one of those places we are planning to
go. I think International Guest House is perfect.
Okay, fine, that's good. So in a way that you don't have such a very good connectivity, don't have to go for big data feed. If you have a work like that, it's okay. You know, in media, when you're working, you have to use that. But it's good to take these time out. People do this. They used to go earlier to monasteries. And this was the idea that they, for some time, cut these vibrations off. And it helps. Madhuban, for example, Nainital's, all this definitely.
It does give a withdrawal.
Yeah.
But it gets better.
Yeah, it's like alcohol. But only thing is, if during that period you don't understand that why you are doing this and the necessity of follow-up subsequently, then one goes back to the old pattern. So this is one of the ways, a kind of detox. Another thing which I recommend is take a time when you will not go. I have gone through that phase because so many messages, and I used to feel I must reply compulsorily. Somebody has asked a question, somebody has sent, if nothing else, good morning. So I have to do, you know, as if it's my bounden duty. So I realized, but I don't need to do that. So now, of course, I have streamlined on Ask Alokda questions. For this reason, because WhatsApp is overwhelming. And if you go to the media, but you have to, it's a phase. You have to understand, after all, why? What are you going to gain? Even television news, the same thing. What are you really going to gain from all this? And they always put things which are very stimulating and sensational.
Yeah.
That's another problem.
It's a dissipation.
Dissipation and stimulate the senses, overwhelm. So people are asking now, is Third World War going to happen? I said, leave it to the Supreme Wisdom. If you trust the Supreme Wisdom, you leave it to the Supreme Wisdom. By thinking it may happen, you are adding your little bit to create it. You keep aspiring for peace, unity, harmony, beauty. But their wars are a necessity in today's time, even more, because there is a transition. Many things have to be destroyed. There will be ways and means. So then you are more stepping back and looking at it, not going by all the opinions. So this tendency to process information, turn it into knowledge by reflecting, using the discerning intellect, and as you develop it, you'll pick up things. Like recently I saw news item in which the lady anchor, she's very good actually, but she suddenly says, you know, bombs are exploding in the process, many innocent people are dying. I said, who is innocent? In after the Garden of Eden, there is no innocent in the world. You may have children who have not, but they are all, it's a part of the whole spectrum. You can't use this word selectively when, you know, that this is innocent and this is not innocent. Words are like that. And children and grown-ups and everybody becomes a part of his mother. You use the word, it's like a mass. Children are caught up. Even 6-year-old, 5-year-old child. He's not saying I'm innocent. Yet bombs are flying around. Propaganda is going around. Everybody is in that state of Rudra holding, as he says, in the hollow of the hand. So we have to learn to understand these in a different context. So this habit of thinking independently.
Yeah.
Stepping back, you have the information. It's not about processing information is not the right word. Processing is just an early filter. Processing means I have taken so much information, now I am picking up the important things. That's not enough. Converting it into knowledge by a process of discerning intellect. Converting knowledge into wisdom by a process of inwardness and silence. That is what needs to be taught. The power of silence, the value of silence in the schools, by educators, then self, you know, control, the urge to take the phone out. And it's a new toy. Now not new anymore. I personally feel humanity will get fed up of all this.
I think it's already started.
Yeah. So people, I see it with hope that many people, they will go through that phase. It's like a new toy in the market, like television came. And even though, yes, there will be a newer, newer toy replacing it, but every time you see people falling out. Many will say it's okay. They know that it's a new version of the old story. So you'll see more and more people stepping out of that zone. Because after some time, even the same food, it may be very sweet and you want, what is this that I'm doing? So I'm full of hope. Also because of the supramental consciousness working on earth. Bringing youngsters like, well, you and many others, there are few I see there. That's something very beautiful. All of us. So this is the working of the supramental consciousness, the new consciousness. And it is going to increase in exponential numbers. And finally, you see, there will come a tipping point. So people like you have a role to play. A kind of role model by default. Remember, like what you told me, you don't understand, you don't know, which has a meaning, what youngsters are going through. That's true. Hey, youngsters, normally, you know, what does he understand? He's all talking about high stuff, spiritual life, light. Very nice to hear, but he doesn't understand. The people ask Aurobindo, by the way, and I'm not even the dust of his feet. I'm just saying, that, oh, he's sitting in his isolation, Himalayan isolation. What does he know about the problems of the world? It's very difficult to explain that you know better. You know the real problems, especially when you have gone through it. So, but when they see their own kind, so you will always have a few people here and there, maybe out of 20 people you know, maybe one person who says, what's this doctor doing? Why is she thinking of, you know, coming to an ashram? Why is she going in this summer instead of spending time in London? She, instead of, you know, using holiday to enjoy life. So one odd person will get interested. And this is how it will grow. And one day there is a tipping point. When what is now treated with suspicion and with isolation will become the new norm.
I just want to finish with just a writing, short writing from Mother's work. And what I've observed with social media is that it's a habit, like you said, of reaching for your phone, when even to the point where you can't watch a movie, 2-hour movie anymore, without getting out TikTok and scrolling for 2 minutes. Because it's a matter of getting it when you have moments of boredom. Like when you're bored, the first instinct is to go on TikTok and stimulate your mind somehow.
The disease is called boredom.
Yes. So this is from Questions and Answers 1929 to 1931. So Mother says, how often there is a kind of emptiness in the course of life, an unoccupied moment, a few minutes, sometimes more. And what do? Immediately you try to distract yourself and you invent some foolishness or other to pass your time. Social media. That is a common fact. All men, from the youngest to the oldest, spend most of their time in trying not to be bored. Their pet aversion is boredom, and the way to escape from boredom is to act foolishly. Well, there is a better way than that, to remember. When you have a little time, whether it is 1 hour or a few minutes, tell yourself, at last, I have some time to concentrate, to collect myself, to relive the purpose of my life, to offer myself to the true and the eternal. If you took care to do this each time, you are not harassed by outer circumstances. You would find out that you are advancing very quickly on the path.
Very beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Been a joy speaking to you. Okay. Jai Ma.